You know, I just want to start with getting myself in position here. As I thought about what God wanted me to share with you today, Pastor Brian and I talked about this several weeks ago, and I want to share with you a little bit, a couple of short videos. But before I get started and warmed up here, I just want to thank God for you, because I can't give you some numbers because I haven't figured them out yet. They're changing so fast, I can't keep up with them. And what I'm talking about is people being trained, people going out, people sharing the gospel, people coming to know Christ, burning their idols, committing to Jesus Christ, starting in their poverty little village hut, a gospel listening group, and how God has taken that over these last few years and just expanded it in amazing ways. And I've got so much ammunition to share with you here on God's blessings that there's no way I can cover enough. So my prayer was, Lord, help me to only say what you want me to say, because I had really two things God put on my heart. One, to share not only just an update and a couple of short videos with you that I think will thrill your heart. You'll be praising the Lord. And I hope you'll just be praising the Lord and praying for this ministry and for each other in a bigger, bigger way. But I want to just keep telling you, in my heart, I am praising and thanking God for each one of you. You would not believe, even when I tell you, you're going to think, are you kidding? You're going to be thinking, wow, God did all of this, and this is, I think, only the tip of the iceberg. And there's so much I want to share, but let me start in prayer and praise. Our Heavenly Father, bless our time together, as you've already done this past hour or so. And Lord, we're here to worship you, to praise your name, to hear what you're doing, and Lord, to look at your word most of all. How can we take what we talk about and hear today? How can we apply it in our life? How can we apply your word to where we can show love for others, even when we're tired, even when we have burdens, but we can rejoice, proclaim your gospel, that people in this country will come back to you. And Lord, I pray that what is said today will excite and ignite the hearts of each one of us to look at our life and say, Lord, use me. Lord, use each person in this room. Lord, not just with your blessings, not with good health, not with your care, but Lord, with a never-ending challenge on how can we reach more people with the gospel? How can we show your love to the people who don't know you, and that your Holy Spirit would direct each one of us here today to be the servant you want us to be, to be the voice that can share the gospel in such a simple, clear way that people will see their need for you, that the things of this world, materialism, entertainment, education, all of these things, if used for your purpose, are good. But Lord, the world today has everything in half of the world. And half of the world today have very little. And they are confused and lost because they've gone astray, as the people of Israel did many times in the last several thousand years. This has happened globally, where people have gotten away from you to worshiping idols, to worshiping the wood, the stone, the carvings. And Lord, they worship the creation instead of the Creator. You are God. And so, Lord, help us with what is said today, that we can take and be blessed by what you're doing. But also help us to see, Lord, how can we apply, modify, and use getting your gospel in a simple, clear way to those in our government, to theirs, young people that are lost and struggling, wondering, what am I going to do with my life? And Lord, help us to focus on the solution, not the problem. Help us to focus on you, because you're the provider. You have the answer. The answer is in your word, that those who believe on you will be saved. And so, Lord, help us to take maybe some of the tools that we're going to be sharing about here in a few minutes. Help us to be able to look and say, Lord, what can I do? How can I be more effective as a Christian? How can I be a part of reaching one person or more, a neighborhood, a city? How can I affect my community? Just like giving things out to those in need. How can I show your love? How can I pray for people I meet? And Lord, empower each one of us to be the disciple maker you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I thought about two things. One, yes, I want to share about Bibles for Asia and what God is doing. And I'll just throw out things constantly here in the next time period. And if I go over 4 hours, let me know, will you? But I always like to tell people, I say, you know, we're spoiled here. We're used to 20 and 45 minute messages. And over in China, they just get warmed up in 4 to 45 minutes. In Asia countries, and really most persecuted countries I've been in, I tell you, they're only getting warmed up in 1 to 2 hours. You know, they're on maybe by the second hour, they're on the second group of praying, the second message. And after 3 to 4 hours, I've been in some meetings where, you know, in Asia, my goodness, it could be 10, 11 o'clock at night and they don't want to go home. They want to keep going. And so, you know, so if I get carried away, just start waving your arms, you know, my wife will give me the cut it, you know, and slow down. And so, but I just hope that God will fill your heart as he keeps filling mine, that we will be one body with one purpose. How can I not only live to be the Christian God wants me to be, but how can I bring that love, that care, and that message of hope, of eternal life through Jesus Christ, to the people that you know that I don't know? We all have different circles of influence. We all have different friends and family in many places. And I look up at my 6 children, and my goodness, my daughter's in North Carolina. My one son's in Germany, getting ready to move back to Greece. And, you know, he left here several years ago, and for some reason, that's where God's got him. One's on the island of, big island of Hawaii. One's on the island of Oahu. You know, one's living in New York, you know. One's living in the Bay Area, you know, and they're all over the place. And so, because they say, well, Dad, we thought when we were growing up that you work too much, but they say, my goodness, you're going 10 to 14 hours a day or more, 7 days a week serving the Lord, but we're happy that you're doing what God wants you to do. Because I had one thing I've always told them. I said, you know, I want you to know there won't be much left for inheritance, because it's all going to reach people for Jesus Christ. And you got your share for about 20 years. And I said, I hope I taught you enough to make a living and take care of yourself. Because I said, you know, I didn't have that privilege. My dad had a strong work ethic and loved the Lord, even though when I was a kid, I might have thought I was a Christian, but believe you me, I didn't even understand how and why God would send his son Jesus to come to earth and die for a rotten person like me, a little brat, you know, who was lost, who didn't understand. And it took me until I was really almost 36 years old before a Christian businessman and explained to me the gospel so clearly, and took 2 to 3 hours out of his busy morning schedule to share the gospel simply and clearly, to where he said it was like turning on a light switch. He just confronted me with two simple questions. If you were to die, where would you go? And I said, I'll probably go to hell, because I don't understand, and I didn't believe that Jesus Christ would come to earth. I didn't understand the resurrection. And everybody thinks because you go to church sometimes, you understand all about the Bible. And the kids understand what you're teaching them. Don't take it for granted, let me tell you. Because I know I'm a prime candidate that was definitely lost. And I even had a philosophy that I think many people have. This Christian businessman asked me, he said, what would happen if you died? I said, well, I have a solution. I thought I had it all figured out. I said, if I know I'm going to die, I'm going to shoot up a quick prayer, because I was always taught as a kid that if you pray and ask God to forgive you, he will. He says, what happens if you don't have enough time to make that prayer? What if you had a heart attack or were in a car accident and you died so quickly you could not even give the prayer? And then he said, think about this. God knows your heart. And God is the ultimate judge. And if you shot up that prayer, God knows, do you really mean it because you're believing in him? Or is it kind of, it's just a fire hose to put out the fire to get you to heaven, but in your heart, you're lost. And the whole thing is, that really concerned me, because I thought I had a foolproof way of getting to heaven. But while I was on earth, it's just, when I was 13, my dad died. He loved the Lord, and he was the testimony of testimonies to me that I look back on today, even though as a young kid, I didn't understand it. But the one thing I do know, he's with the Lord. I know my mother is with the Lord. I know my uncle, who was like a father to me later. But you see, when I was 13, there was another thing I did not understand. I did not understand the love of God, how much he loves you and me and each one of us so much. I didn't get it. I just didn't get that kind of love. Even though I had that kind of love from my mother and father, I didn't understand why would somebody want to die for me. Well, you know, it's the mystery to where we do not know who the Holy Spirit is going to convict and choose to have eternal life. But we are commanded to do one thing: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve him and be the disciple maker, God wants every believer to be. And so that God put that on my heart, but not at age 13. At age 13, I got kind of upset and angry. And I thought, well, you know, I do believe in God and I believe in the Bible, and that part makes sense, but I don't know how it all happens. I don't understand it. But I got bitter. And I got the bad attitude that I'm just going to go out and I'm going to make my own life. I'm going to work hard. I'm just going to make money. I'm going to get more education. I'm going to become somebody. It was about me, me, me. I. I was going to do it. Well, I had a real selfish attitude. But yet, when I came to grips with reality, and my Christian businessman friend told me, he said, Don, there's two problems. One, God knows your heart, if you really mean it or not. And so why do you want to risk the gift of eternal life forever and ever and ever when life on earth here is short? Why would you want to risk waiting until the day you die and waste your life when you could have eternal life and have the joy of Christ in your heart and be saved? He explained it so clearly that I knew I was missing the boat. I knew I had the whole wrong program in my head. And I had lived selfishly only for me from the time I was 13 to I was 36. And I realized a couple of things as I sat there talking with him, that my motive was to benefit me while I'm here on earth. It wasn't about my faith in Jesus Christ, because I had no faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I had a head knowledge of believing in God in the Bible, because that made sense to me. But I was not saved, I'll guarantee you. And it hit me, and I knew, Lord, forgive me. Lord, change my heart. I don't want to be a selfish, self-centered person who only lives for me. Lord, I need to change. I need to understand about you. And I need to get my heart right with you. I want to be like my dad was, where he loved you, Lord. He worshiped you. He sang praises to you. And his life was a testimony to me as I look back. But I didn't understand it until I was 36 years old. Now, some people might come to know Jesus Christ and understand it very quickly, between the ages maybe of 5 and 16. But some don't. And some never do. So we have one responsibility that I want to emphasize today. And that's one reason God not only saved me, but worked with me and patiently helped me to grow in Him, to realize that my mission needs to be to share the gospel and the plan of salvation with people so simply and so clearly that they could see and understand that what they thought and how they were living was not, even if they were a good person. Jesus says there is none righteous, no, not one. And so we have to understand, we have one responsibility in coming to faith as a Christian. We have to take God's word at what it says and begin the journey of study and prayer and meditation. But we've got to put feet on those prayers. We've got to be a testimony who opens his mouth, to open her mouth, to share the gospel so simply and clearly. And when I share with you in a few minutes what God's put on our heart and how Bibles for Asia that started 14 years ago. Next month, we begin our 15th year. And I was sharing a little bit with Jerome before we sat down and started the service today, that what God showing me is that when we started out, I said, Lord, help me to be a disciple maker, not just a Christian who lives comfortably for me, that just, yes, goes to church, worships the Lord, learns about the Lord, but isn't a disciple maker. And the whole thing is, how is the world going to hear about the love of Jesus Christ if we don't take the time to simply and clearly explain it so that they understand it? And then let the Holy Spirit do the work. Let the Holy Spirit convict them of their sin, of their lost position, and that you don't just choose to go to heaven. You don't just choose to go to hell. A person who does not believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior is commanded to bear much fruit. What does the Bible tell us? I don't want you cold. I don't want you lukewarm. I want you hot. I want you to be on fire for Jesus Christ. I want you to be able to be ready in season, out of season. Jesus tells us to take our life, make it count while we're here. Don't wait until you learn more and do more. Get started. Get started where you are today. And I can tell you that Bible's Phrasia started out, we were mules. We were just mules for Jesus hauling Bibles into communist countries. And that's what we did. That's all we knew how to do. That's what we were asked to do in the beginning. And then different Bible publishers and mission organizations helped provide the Bibles. And so in about an 8-9 year period, all of the teams I worked with and helped supervise and several I was a part of, we had hauled in 8 years over 1 million Bibles into communist countries. And songbooks and gospel tracts and Bible teaching materials, on and on and on. But you see, we learned, once we started seeing, wait a minute, a lot of these people were finding half of them couldn't read. Some languages, like in one country we work in, and I'll be careful not to mention country names because that could be detrimental to my health and my survival. And so one must use wisdom. And so pray for wisdom. In the whole situation of going into a country that is opposed to Christianity, then you have to really seek the wisdom of the Lord and be very careful how you do things. But we discovered something. We discovered, my goodness, there's a lot of elderly people who have bad eyesight and no glasses and no money to get them and no way to get them. We've got people that can't read. You know, almost half of the world, even today, you know, cannot read. And that there's over 10,000 languages and dialects around the world, and only about 2,000 of them even have a Bible translated in their language.
Do you want this online? Because it's live online for everybody to see.
It's okay.
It's okay.
That's okay. Because you know what? God's going to use things, even with eye recognition, facial recognition, fingerprint recognition. I figure that God's protected me through dozens of situations where I thought they were going to be my last days on earth. And I can just tell you that one thing God uses is when you're showing the love of Christ, it's amazing how God protects you and watches out for you for His sake, for His name's sake, and for His word to be received and heard and understood. And so I just want you, when you are finished here in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, I want you to go out of here excited. I pray not because of what I've said, but because what God is saying through His word and a couple of short video clips that you're going to see. Because Bibles for Asia has evolved. We found out that I would go into villages, and I looked and I'm thinking, well, I recognize those boxes. Those are Bibles that either we or somebody else hauled in here the last year or two. And we see Bibles used to prop up chairs and tables. And I'm thinking, whoa. And I remember asking these village church leaders and a few pastors. I said, boy, how soon are you going to give those out? They said, well, we told the missionaries don't bring them because we had enough for the people who could read, but most of our people can't read. And they brought us another 1,000 or 2,000. But we can't read them because we don't know how to read. And so I thought, whoa, this isn't good. We're wasting God's money here. About that time, God said, now it's time to start hauling in the CDs, the DVDs. And it's time to take in the Jesus film. It's time to take in gospel tracks. Okay. And begin the audio ministry, which we're now getting ready with a new organization that we formed, being formed as we speak a few months ago, that is starting out called Audio Outreach. Now, underneath that name, next year we'll have information that says DBA, or AKA, also known as, or doing business as, Bibles for Asia, because we don't want to abandon our foundational name. And so, because God's blessed with many contacts in different countries, and our goal for the last 5 years was, Lord, show us how we can go into several dozen more countries. Well, then COVID hit, and that shut a lot of things down for about 3 years. But I'll tell you what it didn't shut down. It didn't shut down God's word. Because by that time, here's what we had 4 years ago that now we have times 10. We went from just hauling Bibles to where 6, 7, 8 years ago we began working with translators and getting people to work with us translating the Bibles into Bible material, Bible stories, and all of that brought us to a point where we started out with little speakers and microchips. First we started out with SD cards. Then they all shrunk to microchips. And so then it went from speakers to audio players. And so this is one that we've been using a lot the last 4 years. We start out buying these 50 and 100 at a time. We're now buying them 1,000 to 5,000 at a time. This little audio player, I won't play it for you right now and get sidetracked on that, but what I want to tell you is this. With an audio player, and let's see, right now, okay, this is about the size of our gospel listening groups that we start in villages after we've shared with them about the gospel. The Holy Spirit convicted them. They prayed to accept Jesus Christ. And we ask them, can you do two more things? You've heard the message now 1, 3, 4 times in the last 2 to 4 hours. But do you have any words you did not understand? Because we want to make sure if there's any words you don't understand, we want to ask you, would you help us? Now, I want you to remember this phrase, the power of asking for help. The power of asking for help. And that's my theme for you today. You're going to hear a couple of things, and you're going to watch a couple of things, and you're going to see that, whoa, how in the world? How did we go from audio, the good news story with 34 photographs that start from creation all the way to the disciples, all the way to the resurrection at the end? And when you look at this, and some of these are difficult. Now, I'm showing you the king size version, but we go all the way to the cross, and we go all the way to the resurrection. Now, the whole thing is, when they flip this, they're not doing it like I'm doing it. because this one we use in our gospel listening audio groups, and it tells the whole story about where would you rather go, to the hot place or to the good place, heaven or hell? And do you know how to get there? And so by that time, they've heard the gospel story, because when we go into a village, we do things a little differently. Now, I have a whole pile of here. I could spend 30 minutes just sharing all these things with you. But I brought the whole pile to show you. We have 8 different booklets. We have 32 different recordings now. And we start out with one simple one, the Green Book, the Good News. Because the good news is what talks about Jesus Christ, starting with creation to Jesus, his life, his death, and his payment for our sins. And that we don't have to worry about working and earning our way to heaven. God paid the price. What he asked to do, he asked us to do 2 things. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Repent, confess your sins, admit your sins before God. God only works with a clean heart. We start out by faith. We start out with repentance. And a pastor, I like this one explanation. He said, if you take a coin has 2 sides, right? One side, just think of it that way. One side is faith. You have faith that somebody's going to accept that coin and you'll get some change back if you buy something. Now, the second thing, you flip it over, what is that? It represents repentance. Faith and repentance, like a 2-sided coin. Because when we have faith and we repent of our sins, Jesus Christ said, I will forgive you and I will help you grow. I will help you become the disciple maker who brings glory and honor to me and presents the gospel. Jesus didn't say go out and convict people of their sins. He said go out and share with people the message of faith and repentance, believing in Jesus Christ, because he is the only one who can save. He's the only one that died for our sins. And so I want to make it real clear. Our message is very simple. And we went from little recordings, the Jesus films, CDs, DVDs, to SD cards, to microchips and players. But we found one thing. When we started converting to the audio players, these players are programmed to where you can go right to a book, chapter, verse by hitting 2 or 3 digits on that little player. If we program them that way. And so they have rechargeable batteries that can take 500 charges, which will that thing will last out in the field 2 to 3 years before you have to replace the 2 batteries. And these are oversized rechargeable batteries. And we give them a plug so that most people where we go, half of them have no electricity, but their neighbor might, or somebody in the village might. So they can go over to their little house because they have 1 receptacle and maybe 1 light bulb, but they can stick it in there, charge up that battery, come back in 2 more hours and go again and use it typically for probably months. And that depends on how many hours they use it. But the whole thing is that little player, most players that we've used dozens of different types. We've got some now that are solar powered to where you don't even have to worry about charging them. And so you can just stick them out in the sun and 2 hours later it's ready to go again. Wow. And so, and it's about half the size of that one and about less than half the thickness of that one. But they're much more expensive. You know, those things are, now they're getting to where they're about the solar ones are now running about $35, $40 a piece. Well, that's quite a bit. Well, but here's what God did. When we first started out buying these players 4 or 5 years ago, they were like $14. Then we started getting them for $12. Then we got a contact a couple of years ago, and we said, what's the best price you can give us on these audio players? $6.42.
Wow.
We're paying half today of what we did 4 years ago. And then, so we went back, I said, go back to the supplier and tell them that we want a guarantee on that price for the whole year. And so, pray, because we're going back to buy 10,000 of those players for $6.42. That's $64,000. But you know what God did the last 60 days? One church in Orangevale handed us a check 2 weeks ago for $14,000. This is a church that only has about 40 people. And you know, they took on the challenge and challenged their people. And they said, well, we're hoping we can help buy 1,000 players. Well, they called me up 2 weeks ago at their church service on that Sunday afternoon and said, well, God did a little more than we thought. And they said, so the church is matching the gift of the members here. And so they handed us a check to buy almost 2,000 audio players. And so you're going to say, well, why do you need so many? I'll tell you why. When we started, we were using little speakers. We'd go out into villages and we'd train people. And so we thought we were doing great, you know, starting 5 to 10 gospel listening groups and seeing maybe 5 or 10 families a month come to know Jesus Christ. That was about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Last year, we had 7,000 families last year come to know Jesus Christ. This year, we have already seen over 15,000 families come to know Christ because of God using that audio player. I mean, we're seeing now, and now, just a couple of important little things. Does God like results of people coming to Christ? Does God like to hear numbers? The Bible's full of numbers. Even got a book named Numbers. Well, you know what? Think about this. Now, we're starting 300 to 400 gospel listening groups a month. A month or more. But here's what God did. This last year, God put it on my heart. Simplify things. Don't go in talking about God and Jesus and Bibles and everything else, because there may be a person who is against what you're saying if you are too quick and too direct with your message. You're probably thinking, well, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? Well, here's what we changed and started the end of last year, early this year. In fact, we not only started it, it's skyrocketed. And it went from doing 30 to 50 gospel listening groups a month to 300 to 500 per month. And in the average family where we go is 2 children, 2 parents. Okay. And when the mother or father come to know Christ, I'll tell you, within 1 to 6 months, the whole family comes to Christ. And then they're telling their relatives, their friends. The gospel listening group grows from 10 or 15 to 30 to 60. Too big to fit in that little bamboo hut. So now they're outside. So then we train them a little differently than we do in the United States. And I'm going to share these two things because they're two of the most important things that God is using to reach people in persecuted nations and nations where people can't read. nations where people don't have access or ability or money to go buy a Bible, let alone hear about a Bible. And so what I want you to understand is that God has done all this. It's not because I'm smart. No, I believe in working the way God wants you to work. When you pray and say, God, I don't know what to do. And I'll tell you, I've prayed that many, many times. Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We got more people that want players and we don't have the money. We prayed and God brought the money. God brought a discount. God provided. You know, we wondered, well, how are we going to print all these newsletters and things we're sending out? I wondered that 8-10 years ago. God brought a printer. And for 8 years, he printed, $50,000 to $75,000 worth of printing over the last 8-9 years. Never gave us a bill. Never gave us a bill. And so anything that you see that I bring here in the newsletters and things, but he finally told me the last 6 months, he said, Don, I can't afford to keep, because you're growing and you're needing more, and I can't afford to keep paying for the more, you know. And so now pray that God brings us whatever we need, you know. And so am I worried about it? No. Our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? And that's a lot of cattle. And so God knows who, what, when, and where. We don't have to worry about it. All we need to do is be faithful. God calls us to be faithful. And in fact, I had two kind of titles, because one, I'm already overtime and in trouble with you. And so, but I wanted to share. How are we doing what we're doing? How is God doing all this? You know, I don't understand how God's doing it all, but he is. And I summed it up by the same thing that we do when we're going into a village this year that's increased the number of people coming to Christ 1,000% plus over last year. By the power of God. How are you going to live the Christian life? By the power of God. How are we going to do anything? By the power of God. So when we go into a village, God put it clear on my heart. I said, look, go into a village and ask the people for help. Just a simple question. Could you help us? And you know what most of them say? Oh, well, what do you want us to help you with? 9 out of 10 are very quickly willing. And offer. Well, yeah, what do you need help in? They said, well, we've got this audio player here. And we've got what we think is your language. But we want to make sure that it's the right dialect. That it's also that you understand the words. And would you be willing to listen to this recording and let us play that recording and just listen to the story? But if there's anything you don't understand about the story, or if there's anything you don't understand about the words, or it's a word not known to you, then let us know. We'll write it down. Well, we also have a little information I'll share quickly with you about what we do. And so just keep that thought about we went into a village, we've asked for help, they agreed, we turned on the audio player, let them hear. Faith comes by hearing. Okay. Now, I'll leave you right there thinking about that. Faith comes by hearing. Okay, now, here's what we do. Before we go to that village, here's what we've done. Our research team of nationals and tribal people in different languages, we put together the research in a little foldover, audio outreach, gospel for all nations, the story of Jesus in every language. We do not have the story of Jesus in every language, but that's our goal. That's our prayer. And that's our commitment. Now, what do we have here? If you open this up, I tell you, I'll just tell it to you real quick, because if I sit here flipping with these pages, we might be here 10 more minutes. And so, what I want to tell you is this. in this booklet, this is research country by country that we're now doing. And so we've already completed it in two countries that have about 500,000 people. Okay, say there's roughly 7 billion people on earth. Well, right now, not just our research, but we have enough access now to an organization who produced the good news and all these little big booklets. And these big booklets we have in three sizes. This is the little size. This little size is one. It's a duplicate of the big one. But if you're walking into a village, you don't want to carry a big booklet. When you first walk in, see that big booklet, that's once you start the gospel listening group. But when you're sharing the gospel, you don't know if you're going to have one person there. Because when you walk into a village and you turn on the player, there's two people in our teams. We thought Jesus kind of had it all figured out and we'll just copy what he does. And so we figured when we go into a village, we train our people to go in two by two. One holds the audio player. The other holds the booklet. And the other tells them, here's what we've done. We've researched your language. We've researched your country. And so we know all the languages in your country. And now we're recording them. And if we find a mistake in this recording that we have, or it's the wrong recording, and it's maybe your national language, but not your tribal language, so you don't fully understand it. And I'm kind of emphasizing the word not fully understanding. And when you see this video clip in a couple of minutes, you're going to say, this lady in this video had many people come as missionaries to share the gospel, but not in her dialect, not in her language. She did not fully understand. See, yeah, I heard about heaven. I heard about this person called Jesus, but I didn't know a thing about him. And I didn't know what they meant when they were explaining all about this person. And I didn't understand all these words they had. But she says, I've heard bits and pieces for several years, but nobody took the time to share it to me in my heart language of my people. Well, that's because the good news gospel is only in not even 20% of the languages on earth today. And you know when they started the gospel recording, Global Recording Network organization, they started it in 1939. Now, they've got recordings, different recordings, in about 6,000 languages, but not the good news. And a lot of the recordings they did 30, 40, 50 years ago, and they weren't real good recordings. They weren't real clear, or they were the wrong dialect. And so the key is this. I keep emphasizing the language and the dialect. Why? This is what we discovered. If people see you love them and care for them enough to produce the research about their people, their language, where they came from, you know, we know the demographics, we know what provinces or states or countries these languages are in. And so we've put all the research of Wycliffe Bible Translators, Jesus Film Project, Joshua Project, mission organizations, and all this information on that country and all about their different languages and how you spell their language, because you don't want to go into a language group and you can say, oh, you're from blank, blank tribe. They said, well, we don't know that name. Well, you better have the right name, right? So you want your research, because here's another little thing that makes it difficult. Languages, different languages, they may spell their tribal name three different ways. Two different ways, mostly one. But it can get confusing, because the people over here 100 miles away may spell it different. Because as they migrated from the Tower of Babel over into China and down into Southeast Asia and the islands and so forth over the last 5,000-6,000 years, you know, a lot of these things were kind of confusing. But I'll give you just a quick overview. Again, we got a lot to cover. We printed 10,000 of these cards. We ran out, had to print 5,000 more. Now, this card is, if you have a smartphone, you can download an app called the Five Fish. And the Five Fish has the good news in about, I think, 2,600 languages of the good news now, but Bible stories in different languages of almost 6,000. Well, we have a little code sheet. This code sheet has a numerical coding here so that when you use that audio player and you know that you're going to be talking about the book of Matthew, then it's 01. You know, there's a series code for the New Testament and a series code for the Old Testament. But we mainly focus, especially the first 6 months to a year, on the New Testament. Now, when we talk about the good news in creation, we go all the way back to Genesis 1. And then we go all the way to Revelation. We do it with 42 pictures, and we do it in 4.5 minutes, if there's no questions. But believe me, there's always questions. You're going to be there 1 to 4 hours when you go into that village. Because what happens? When you go into a village, they're going to say, well, who is there? Well, now, I don't go into all the villages, because in certain countries, they teach their children that if you see a white man, run away, because he's going to kidnap you and kill you. And so, and you can only listen to our government and what we tell you. And so, a lot of obstacles you have to look out for and be aware of. Well, we have another little book. We call this, it's got the sower a seed here, and this is the question answer book. We have about 16 key questions when we're letting a person listen. It starts out with maybe 1 to 4 people. Within 30 minutes to an hour, you may have 5 to 30 people. And in 1 or 2 hours, you may have, we had one group up to 90, the entire 90 people. By the time 4 hours was up, every single one prayed to accept Jesus Christ, wanted to be baptized, wanted to start a gospel listening group. In fact, I think we started 3 groups with that group because there were so many of them. We like to keep our groups between 10 to 30 people. And once they hit 30 or more, we divide, and we've already trained the people there to be a facilitator of the next group. Now, here's something we do different than America. When a person becomes a Christian, we train them within 30 to 60 days how to use the audio player, how to go share the gospel, and answer questions on about everything I just shared with you already. So within 1 or 2 months, they are anxious to get out. They want their family to know Jesus Christ. They want their family to have eternal life. Because most of the people we deal with are either Buddhist, animist, Hindu, you know, lost, idol worshipers. But now, so we've got our question answer book. And here's what we've just developed this year. You say, well, how in the world do you keep track of all this information? Well, very simply, we make sure at least one person in that village of 1 to 200 people has a smartphone. And we ask them, when they ask the questions, they tick off the box for comprehension of the story of the good news. And any details then are all in the book. They photograph that on a weekly basis, because they have weekly meetings of the audio gospel Bible teaching. And so every week they take a photograph and they have a QR code. They download it to the QR code that goes into our office in Asia. They take that information and then they gather that information So we know how many people attended, how many did not know Christ, how many came to know Christ, how many were baptized, how many burnt their idols. You know, what are you studying week by week? And so we will take all that data very quickly and very simply by checking off the boxes. So they don't have to worry about writing, legibility. It's all done ahead of time. And they get a booklet that will last them for about 6 months. Then we give them another book. And so, you know, these we can print in most countries, a book like this, for about 22 cents. And so, you know, it's very affordable. But we've done our research. Now we're going into the village and we're sharing about Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show that one video, because this one video kind of shows the village and a little bit of how we get started and some of the things God has had us do, from hauling Bibles to audio to then movie number two. The movie number two I want you to really sink your teeth into, because I want you to notice the face on this lady once she heard the gospel in her native language. And her language happens to be called the Thai Dim language. Now, there's several Thai languages. This is not Thai from Thailand. This is Thai from another country. But they have all sorts of different names. And so there's, I don't know, four or five different Thai languages. So you got to make sure you got the right one. But what we ask the people, now, we have two questions we like to ask after you've heard. Where do you want to go when you die? Do you want to just go into the grave and wait for the judgment for your life to be judged for your sins? Or do you want to know today that you have eternal life, that you're going to live forever, and you can help all of your family here and your friends here also have eternal life and share the gospel yourself? Well, I'll tell you, over one half of the people that are listening to the gospel, over one half, sometimes up to 90%, say, I want to know your Jesus. I want to know your God. I want to know I have eternal life. And I want to pray with you. Will you help me? And this usually takes 1 to 4 hours. But the whole thing is, it's the beginning of a new life with Christ. And I mean, we're seeing this happen day in, day out. And what's been the miracle of all this is we've been working with 4 different denominations in one country. Now, all of them are on board, and we put together last year a training program where they want us to train every one of their village pastors, every one of their elders, every one of their members, every believer. They want to be trained. And so we set up a multiplication training program where we're now training 100 to 200 people to not only go do it and share the gospel, but how to be a facilitator of a gospel listening group, Bible group, and also how to recruit and teach and train 10 to 12 more people within 60 days. And so you're taking 2 people that become 24 people within 60 days, and 24 within 60 days that become 300 people, because our average training class has 30, 32 people. And so what we recognize is this: we've got to accelerate. The days are short. We've got to make our time count. We've got to be able to get into a village and not take 1 year, 2 year, or 10 years to build a relationship that may or may not even allow you to come right out and share the gospel message. So the key of what I'm trying to emphasize to you is, you can go into a village, ask them for help, share, and let them hear, answer their questions, and you can, half the time, you're going to have 1 to 10 people or more wanting to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. wanting to have eternal life. Let's watch this first and second movie. In between the first and second movie, I'll just share for a minute or two and then stop. But somebody help me. How am I doing on time? Am I in trouble? Now, what time do you close? 1, 2, 3?
No. So we're about an hour, so we would only be stopping now. So.
Okay, so.
Go ahead and share the video.
So how much time do we have?
We're going an hour, so how many more videos do you have?
Well, probably 1 to 2 hours. But, but no, I'll tell you what. I'm going to reduce this down and just going to give you some of the highlights. Because the most important thing is I want you to see the results of what God is doing. And I want you to see also the part you've had in this. Because this is the exciting part I don't think I've mentioned for a year or two. For every dollar, our total overhead has been kept for 14 years at about 4% for miscellaneous overhead, printing, A to Z, different things. 96 cents on every dollar goes to reach people for Jesus Christ. Because none of us get paid. We're all volunteers. We have now 600 volunteers in one country, and we have a 58 in another country, and a few dozen in four other countries. And so they're all getting started. But what I want you to know is, we're seeing for each dollar, three people come to know Christ. So, it's a little different than the United States.
Yeah.
I won't even tell you how much it cost to bring someone to Christ in the United States based on what all the churches have reported to the IRS on their annual tax filings. You'll fall over. It's $222,000 to reach one person for Christ in America. And we're seeing three for a dollar in persecuted dictatorship, in poverty-stricken countries. But thank you, Oleg. Let me get out of the way so you can see. Can you see okay?
We're in this village praying with about 10 of the area pastors from different tribes and villages. And we just want to share with you what God is doing on Project 5000 to reach the tribal people to know and hear the message of Jesus Christ and to start a gospel listening group, show the Jesus film, and make disciples who make disciples.
They waited 4 years to get those Bibles. These are all high school and college students. We're teaching them how to use the old speakers before we had the players. We're We're getting him all loaded up to go out to start another gospel listening group. Most of the people, they're either on foot or they might have a motorbike. This is how we started doing our recordings about 6-7 years ago. Well, I will just say briefly this. This next little short video, I've said this twice, but I want you to really understand the excitement and look for it in this lady's face once she realizes and understands for the first time the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And you're going to see the excitement, but there's two keys here. We went in asking her just to listen, asking for help. Within 2 hours, she's praying to accept Jesus Christ. And we're seeing this happen now. We have about almost 400 teams that are going out. And out of those teams, 500 of them have already been trained to recruit, train, teach, share, start gospel listening groups, lead gospel Bible groups. But just watch and listen to this lady's excitement. And the key factor is her language. She understood it, and it made sense. The Holy Spirit did His work because it was clear in her language. This was just taken in January. Like the air conditioning?
Nó khổ, nó bỏ thế mà. Ừ. 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 giờ khi mà nghe thì là tự nhiên là 100% là nghe được hết.
100% thôi mà.
100%.
Giống tiếng của cô mà.
Là nghe, nghe và nghe được hết trong.
Những khi kia thì cũng bảo lên trên thiên gì
nhỉ?
Thiên đàng. Thiên đàng. Lên trên thiên đàng nó cũng bảo hết. Nhưng mà mình cũng không
hiểu.
Không hiểu, chưa hiểu đấy là cái khác.
Khác rồi. Nhưng mà nó nói tiếng bằng tiếng gì?
Tiếng phổ thông.
Tiếng phổ thông, chắc là tiếng phổ thông thì chắc cô không nắm được hết.
Không nắm được, cô cũng biết nhiều. Học thì cô cũng học lớp 4 mà, nhưng mà đấy thì mình cũng giao tiếp mà cũng không hiểu bao nhiêu ấy.
Nếu mà tiếng Thái như vậy thì cô hiểu 100%.
100% thôi cái tiếng Thái
này. Nếu mà tụi con có những cái phương tiện, ví dụ như là Thái mà nói về cái Chúa Giêsu này cho cái làng này thì chắc là
họ cũng nghe.
Họ cũng nghe.
Đại Chúa Giêsu.
Lâu lắm rồi con không cầu nguyện với Ngài.
Lâu lắm rồi con không cầu nguyện với Ngài.
Hôm nay cảm ơn Chúa.
Hôm nay cảm ơn Chúa.
Có một người anh em.
Có một người anh em.
Ở trong Sài Gòn ra gặp con.
Ở rất là xa trong Sài Gòn ra gặp con.
Đặc biệt hơn là chia sẻ phúc âm của Chúa.
Đặc biệt hơn chia sẻ phúc âm của Chúa.
Bằng tiếng Thái Liên.
Vâng. Tiếng Thái Liên.
Và con cũng hiểu 100%.
Con cũng hiểu 100%.
Và giờ này con cầu nguyện.
Và giờ đây con cầu nguyện.
Xin Chúa ngày tha thứ tội lỗi cho con.
Xin Chúa ngày tha thứ tội lỗi cho con.
Để con được trở nên con cái của Ngài.
Được con trở nên con cái của Ngài.
Và con cầu nguyện.
Và con cầu nguyện.
Trong danh Chúa Giêsu.
Trong danh Chúa Giêsu.
Amen.
Amen. Xin chào tất cả mọi người. Thì hôm nay tôi, John và Timothy có mặt tại một cái bản làng người Thái đang là tại Điện Biên Phủ. Thì đây là cô Xuân Phú, nhưng mà chưa có ai nói với cô bằng tiếng dân tộc Thái đấy. Muốn cô cũng. Và hôm nay khi mà chúng tôi mở phát phía cho cô nghe về tin mừng về Chúa Giêsu, cuộc đời của Chúa Giêsu bằng tiếng Thái đấy, thì cô nghe thì cô hoàn toàn hiểu 100%. Và đây là lần đầu tiên khi cô nghe có những người nào đó nói với mình về Chúa Giêsu bằng tiếng người Thái đấy.
Well, what do you think? You have any questions? You know, honestly, I realize that I want to give you some homework, because part two will have to start next time. And I wanted to mainly focus on the update, but I might have gotten carried away, because as I explain things to you, I believe God put it on my heart to go into a little more explanation so that you really understand what we're doing because of how God led us to do it. You know, how God just really made it possible that it's just, we talk with so many missionaries and they're struggling for 2 to 5 years to learn a language instead of working with the nationals and the tribal people, who they already have the relationships. They already are eager. When someone comes to know Christ in a language, they're hungry. They want to know. They want to understand about heaven. They want to understand what the God of heaven, who's more powerful than any of their stone or wood idols, that they know that the God creator, He is more powerful than their evil spirits, and that there's only one spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God, the Creator. And so we want to make this clear to them. But it doesn't take 6 months, a year, or years before you get to that point. We found that by going in and just asking, will you help us? Will you listen? We share. We ask questions. And before we know it, they're saying, I mean, they get that look of peace on their face that, like, I understand. You know, this makes sense. I'm worshiping the stone and the wood, not the God who created the stone and the wood. And so they understand just the frutality of their idol worshiping and being guided by witch doctors and shaman, they call them, in different countries. But the key is present the gospel clearly, simply, and make sure people understand the message. The Holy Spirit is going to draw them, convict them, lead them. And I tell you, you'll know real quick, as we're finding, that when you go out two by two, we ask the people two questions at the end. Are you ready to pray and make Jesus Christ your Lord God and follow Him? And 9 out of 10 is the best we're seeing. Usually it's 4 out of 5, 5 out of 6, or more. But over half are wanting to know Jesus Christ. And the others, we say, look, we're going to invite you to come to the gospel listening group. So we ask another question. Does someone have a home here, a little village home, where we could hold our weekly Bible groups? And then we will teach you more. You can listen to the recording again. You can listen to more recordings. And we will have two of our teachers come, and you can ask questions and listen and learn. And so I would say over half the time again, they say, yeah, we can use my village home. We can meet here once a week. And they meet in the evening. Usually it's between 6 and 9 at night. Every week, some groups meet twice a week. Once in a while, we have them meet 3 times a week. You know, they'll go through our material in 3 months instead of 6 months, you know. And so they grow. But you grow as God helps them grow. And then, but what's neat about it is they start inviting others and sharing with others. But, you know, I want to give you some scripture here as I close. And I challenge you to do this. Look into the book of Romans, and I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to email this, and so you can copy this and hand it out next week, because I have some things here that are really some of my devotions each week. God's put it on my heart about 5 years ago to get up in the morning, not only do my devotions, but I've got about 70 people in a half a dozen countries that I send it to who can read and know English. and so that group has been kind of growing year by year. But I looked at my devotions and how perfect they were, that I want to share this with you because I think it'll really help. And it's basically kind of an overview of Philippians, 1 Thessalonians, mostly in Romans chapters 1 to 10, but a little bit of Hebrews. But I'll tell you what I wanted to really, I wanted to get to real quick is just as a closing thought, I want you to just be able to look at solutions for a second. And when you look at Colossians, you can either write this down or I'm gonna copy it or email it. So that all of you can have a copy of this. But it really put on my heart, if you don't understand people's need and their position, it's like I don't know all of you to know your hurts, your struggles, your pain, and what you're going through in life, just like you don't know all the details of my life. And so the whole thing is, I gave you scriptures here that I think will be so encouraging to you, that God's put on my heart, that when you read these, you're going to see, wow, you get to chapter 10, you're going from, you know, people you're going to meet that are dead in their sin, on how can you help them be alive in God, in Christ. And, you know, but how will they hear? And Colossians 3, 1 to 7 is a great one. Jesus said, Matthew 16, 20, what? Do not lay up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven, basically. And when you think about these things, I just want you to think about, what is God speaking to you about to have an eternal perspective every day when you wake up. Who can you be a witness to? Who can you help? Who do you meet that's hurting and needs an ear? They need somebody just to listen. They need somebody to just give them a word of encouragement and to have a scripture handy that would give them comfort. And, you know, I put down the application. The application, I mean, there's a contrast between where we're serving in primitive countries to an affluent society like our nation here. But pray about this. We're praying for the solution of how can we adopt bringing what we do that where we're seeing so much fruit in Asia countries and Muslim and Middle East countries and basically almost every country except the European countries, America and Canada. But I hear from people, they say, man, we want to adopt your method of how you're doing this. We need to switch how we're doing it because the way we've been doing it for 5 to 20 years isn't working. We've got to more effectively reach people with the gospel clearly, simply, and let the Holy Spirit do its work. And so, again, I've said it and I've said it and I've said it again. You know, we just have to be doers of the word. God wants us to be effectual doers of the word. And so, I just, in closing, think about, I know Philippians in 4:13-19, let's pray, let God mold us to be the disciple makers he wants us to be. And my prayer for all of us, including myself, Lord, help keep refining me, molding me to be the servant you want me to be. You know, I look and I think, well, Lord, okay, I'm 81 right now. Joy doesn't like me to tell people how old I am. Because they think, well, they're going to think you're going to be dead next year, you know. And so I just want to tell you, I'm praying God gives us at least 10 more years to do what we're doing before he takes me home. I know where I'm going. You know where you're going. And the key is, how can we reach more people for Jesus Christ while we're here? And that's our goal. We started in the Philippines last year now, which took 4 years for God to bring all that to pass. We had to get over COVID and get into the country and get authorization. But now, in about 3 weeks, my partner and I will be training. They've got 78 pastors and elders and teachers coming to their church in Manila, Philippines, for us to train them on October 12th and 13th. And so God's brought, and we're working on the same thing for several countries right now for next year. And so pray for us as we pray for you. But thanks for listening.